And we're holding on Kaf Zayin Amr Aleph, the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Nishba levatalos a mitzvah v'loy bitul. If a person makes a shavua to not do a mitzvah, and then he ended up violating that shavua, and he ended up doing the mitzvah. So he made a mitzvah, he made a shavua, for example, that he won't, let's say that he won't eat matzah on Pesach. And then in the end, he did eat matzah on Pesach. So potter, then he's potter from the korban for shavuos bitul. Now, it will be a shavuos shav, because it was a useless shvua to do such a thing. What do you mean? You're going to be mevatel the mitzvah. You don't have the right to do that. So it is a shvuas shav. There are even rishonim who learn that he would get malchus for it. All it is is that he would get malchus. The Ramban actually holds that not, but many rishonim hold that he would. On the other hand, Lakayim, if he makes a shavua to fulfill the mitzvah, and then he ended up not doing the mitzvah, potter, then he's potter, so the shavua can't be chal, because he's mushba v'omen mehav Sinai, he's already been sworn from Har Sinai to do it. Now, a person is able to make a shavua to be mekayim a mitzvah because the purpose of that shavua is to strengthen him in his commitment. The Gemara elsewhere mentions the pasuk in Tilim, Nishbati v'akayema, David says, I swore and I will fulfill it, lishma mishpat etzikecha, to fulfill your righteous mitzvahs, and we see from that, therefore, that a person can make a shavua to do a mitzvah. So he has the right to do such a shavua, but if he doesn't end up doing it, then he's potter because the shvur is not really chal in the first place because he's mushba v'omim mahar Sinai. Now the Mishnah continues. Shahoya badin shehei chayev kedivir of Yehuda ben Beseira. Now you would have thought logically that he should be chayev in that case a korban based on the logic of Yehuda ben Beseira. Rashi points out there was a different girsa, Divir of Yehuda ben Beseira, that Yehuda ben Beseira actually says that. The Rashi says that's not the correct girsa. The girsa is rather following the logic of Yehuda ben Beseira. As he goes on in the Mishnah, we would have said that he's chayev, but in fact Yehuda ben Beseira does not actually hold he's chayev. It's just if you take his logic to its logical conclusion, then he might have said that. Tosfos and a number of other Rishonim do follow the original girsa, that Givir of Yehuda ben Beseira, that Yehuda ben Beseira actually says that, and we'll talk in a minute about what the implications of that girsa are. Anyway. Because Omer of Yehuda ben Beseira, namely that Yehuda ben Beseira says, why shouldn't such a shavua to do a mitzvah be chal? Madach a voluntary thing where he's not be sworn from Har Sinai to do it. If he makes a shavua to do it, then he has to do it, and otherwise he's chayav a korban. Mitzvah shu mushba alayah mahar Sinai. So a mitzvah that he's already be sworn from Har Sinai. Ein adin shi hay chayav alayah. How much more so that a shavua on it, he should be chayav for violating his shavua when he violated it b'shogeg. Omruloi, the other chacham answered him, loi, no, that's not a valid kavachomer. Ima mauta b'shavuos harashus, you know, it's one thing you can say by shavuos harashus, you can also be lav kahain, because you can have the shavua framed in the negative and in the positive. You can swear to do this, and you can swear not to do this, like we talked about the other day in connection with Lahora Lahetiv, and we had the whole discussion in the Gemara whether a Shavua always has to be the Hain V'Lav, that it always has to be that the Shavua could be formulated as a positive or as a negative. So here, you do in fact, so with a Dvar Rishus, you do have that. You can swear that I will eat, and you can equally swear that I won't eat. You can swear that I will throw a rock into the ocean, or that I won't, etc. Torima b'shavuos mitzvah, shalai also b'lav kahain. How can you compare that to a shavuos mitzvah, where you don't have that option of lav just like hain? She'im nishba levatel v'le bitel potter, because in the ratio of the Mishnah, we said that if he swore to not do a mitzvah, and he ended up not fulfilling his shavua, and he did do the mitzvah, potter, then he's potter from a korban, and everybody agreed to that, as we're going to see in the Gemara. Hekesh teaches us that. So you don't have lav v'hein, therefore you're not able to swear to do it or not to do it, because a shavua to do it, fine, you can do a shavua to do a mitzvah, but you can't do a shavua not to do the mitzvah. So again, Rashi has the Gilsa Kid Gibbi Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is not saying that is not saying that he is actually Chayev. He's just arguing that logically he ought to be Chayev, and the Chachamim shlug him up. What Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira would answer to that, we will see in the Gemara. But Tosfos says that no, it's one thing. You do have the concept ein isur chal al isur. We do have, for example, we talked about the other day, a person swore not to eat nevela. Then ein isur chal al isur. So then his shvur is not going to be effective. So here we're talking about strictly where you have a mitzvah saseh, then Rabbi Huda holds that the shvur is effective, and therefore that he's going to be chayev for breaking it. Because it's one thing to make a shvur not to do a mitzvah saseh, such a shvur can't be chal on them because of ein yisur chal al yisur, but here where you have where it's something that you're doing, where you're swearing to do a mitzvah saseh, then that shvur can very well be chal, and not only you're allowed to make such a shvur based on the pasuk and tilim, but also that can be chal, and also that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira would hold a person as even chayav a korban for breaking it. So we could in fact say, divrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, that he would say that in fact he is in fact chayav for such a case. And in fact, he would say, for example, by sitting in a sukkah or whatever, then it wouldn't be effective. So the Rosh further points out, you know, we had a relevant Gemara about this a few days ago, that in that case we have to, the Gemara had mentioned over there that, for example, a person says, for example, a shvur that I will give to Pliny, and the question was, if Pliny was poor, then that's tzedakah, and you were already mushbav omen mahar sinai to give him tzedakah. Now though, according to what we're saying over here, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, it would actually be effective. So therefore, we have to understand that Gemara as rather saying that he says that I won't give, and the question is, how could such a shvur have an effect? He's mean nishva, levatalos a mitzvah, and even according to the Yehuda ben Beseira, that wouldn't work, and therefore the Gemara answered that we're talking about a present to a rich person, where therefore it's a divar hadashurus, and of course, therefore, such a shvur is chal. Tosfos also wonders over here that in fact by that logic, if according to the Yehuda ben Beseira Svara, we would say that the shvur is able to chal on another, is able to be chal on another shvur, by the same token, an issur should be able to be chal on another issur. Tosfos wonders why not. Anyway. So the Gemara says Tana Rabbanan. So we learn a Braisa. So now we're going to go through this detail of how we know that that a shavua has to be belav v'hein, that it has to be possible to say the shavua as a negative as well as a positive, which is why the Chachamim are telling Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira in our Mishnah that a shavua to fulfill a mitzvah won't be effective because you don't have lav v'hein. So Tana Rabbanan, Yochol Nishba Levatalos a mitzvah v'lebito yehei chayev. You would think if a person swears to not do a mitzvah, and he does in fact end up doing the mitzvah, so he's not mevatal a mitzvah, you would think that he's chayev a korban, and that part both the Chachamim and Rehudim ben Maseira agree with. The argument is only where he made the shvur to do the mitzvah and he doesn't end up doing it, but where he said, for example, I won't sit in a sukkah, everybody agrees that if he sits in a sukkah, he's not considered to have been, he's not chayev a korban. Whether he's chayav malchus or not, again, is subject to a machlokas rishonim. Anyway, so yochol nishba levatal sa mitzvah v'lo bitul yehi chayav. You would think that then he should be chayav a korban in a case like that. And meaning, in other words, Rashi says, given that the pasuk says lahora or lahetiv, that he does a shvur to do bad or to do good, well, to say I won't do a mitzvah is doing something bad. And then Hashem tells you to do the mitzvah and it'll bring you benefits beruchnius, and you're trying to avoid that. Talmud Lama Lahora Ulahativ. Therefore the pasuk is Lahora Ulahativ, to do bad or to do good. So we have a hekesh between bad and good. Ma hatova rishus, just like the hatova with the doing good refers to something which is rishus, as we're gonna see further on. Afara rishus, the same way when the pasuk says that a person makes a shvur, lahora has to be strictly a kind of hara, which is a rishus, which he doesn't have to do, he could do it if he wants to. Tosfos points out this whole drasha wouldn't follow Rabbi Akiva. We learned yesterday that Rabbi Akiva holds that you use ribui and miut, and then he says that from the ribui and miut, you learn that bar mitzvah here or all Gemara is learning that you can't make a shavuot to be mevatel a mitzvah from in a different way. So fine, but so when it says lahora lahetiv, so again it means both of them have to be rishus. So oitzi nishpal avatol some mitzvah lebitol shu potter. So therefore that causes us to exclude from the case of a korban somebody who made a shvur to violate a mitzvah and to fail to do a mitzvah and wasn't mevatel and ended up doing a mitzvah shu potter, that he would be potter like we said if he's made a shvur not to sit in a sukkah and ended up sitting in a sukkah. So again it's definitely going to be a shvur shav. There's definitely going to be the consequences for a shvur shav, and according to some rishonim, according to many rishonim, is going to be chayav malchus for it, but not a korban if it's rishonim. So the brayso continues, yochol nishvah lekayim as a mitzvah lekiyim yehi chayav, sheyehi chayav. You would think the other way around. He makes a shvur to fulfill the mitzvah and does not fulfill it. You would think that he would be chayav. Like Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseya of our Mishnah, Talmud Lema lahoray lahetiv. Again, you have the same lahoray lahetiv, the same hekish. And therefore, ma harra rishus, af hatova rishus. So just like the harra has to be something which is a rishus, as the braisa is going to go on to work out, the same way the hatova has to be a rishus. Otsi shenishpa l'kayimus and mitzvah l'kiyim shu potter. So therefore, that excludes the case where he intended, where he made the shvur to do the mitzvah, and then he accidentally violated his shvur and did not do the mitzvah, that he would be potter. So in other words, the braisa is saying so far that both the lahara and lahetiv have to be matters of rishus. As the braisa is going to go and work out. So yochol nishba lahora laatzmai v'lo heira yochol yehi potter. So now, what about though if a person were to make a shvur to damage himself? Let's say if a person makes a shvur to injure himself. If he didn't do that, you would think that he would be potter. No, tamad lema lahora lahetiv ma tova rishus hafara rishus. Just like the hatova is rishus, the hara is rishus. Therefore, that allows us to include shenishpa lahora laatzmai v'lahera. If he makes a shvur to injure himself, lahera, and he didn't do that, he will be chayav for a korban shor rishus biyadei, because he does in fact have rishus to injure himself. Now, Tosfos points out that there is in fact a machloikus about that in the Gemara and Bava Kamma. We usually learn as kids that a person is not allowed to injure himself because his body doesn't belong to him. It belongs to Hashem, and that's true, al pi halacha. But our Braisa is taking the view that no, a person is in fact allowed to injure himself, and therefore that would be considered a dvar harishus. Lamaisa, the poskim do paskin, and Amram writes, other Rishonim write, that in fact he will be chayav in a case like that, even though the fact is, the halacha is that he's not allowed to injure himself, because, for one thing, so one point is, because this point that he's not allowed to injure himself, it doesn't say explicitly in the Torah, we learn it out, but that's not reason enough to consider that therefore he's actually violating what the Torah says. It's one thing when you have, for example, sitting in a sukkah, or wearing tefillin, or any of the other mitzvahs, where we have at least fairly explicitly in the Torah this concept, then we can say a person makes a shvur to do it or not to do it, then we're saying that it won't be effective. But when it comes to hitting or injuring himself, given that it doesn't say explicitly in the pasuk, then therefore that's a valid reason for us to say that the shavur will be effective. So now, if he doesn't in fact end up hurting himself, then he will in fact be chayav a korban for failing to do the shavur. So again, because the braisa is learning, both of them are rishus. Now, what about yochol nishpal lahara la'achirim v'lahera asheh chayev? What about, you would think that if he made a shavua to harm somebody else, to injure somebody else, and he doesn't do that, you would think that he would be chayev for a korban. So now, this part we don't really need. The previous part about hurting himself, Tosfos points out, was not really that necessary in the Braisa, because we already were dealing with Dvar HaRishus. So once we establish that hitting himself is a Dvar HaRishus, then there's really no need for that part. Tosfos points out that really is the Chiddush of that part, the fact that this Braisa holds that a person is allowed to injure himself. Now, this part, Mishval HaChirim, is really not necessary either, but because the Braisa is going to go on to talk about HaTovas HaChirim, about a shvur to do good for somebody else, so therefore it mentions also hara for somebody else, just in order to round everything out. So Yochol Nishval Horal Achirim Vlahera Sheikhayev, you would think that if he makes a shvur to harm somebody else, to injure somebody else, and he didn't do that, you would think he's chayev. Again, the same Drosha Tamadlam Lahora Elahitiv, Mahatova Rashus, Afarah Rashus, both the Hatova and the Hara have to be Rashus. Oitzi Nishval Horal Achirim Vlahera Sheinu Rashus Vyadai, so therefore that excludes the case where he makes a shvur to injure somebody else, and he doesn't do it, then he's potter because he doesn't have permission. In other words, again, you don't have the Lav Behain, it's not possible to make a Shavua to injure somebody else because he has no right to do that. Al Pitoira, and therefore Shavua to, therefore such a Shavua will not be effective. What about Minayim L'Rabbis HaTavas Achedim? What about, though, how do we know that we do include the case where he wants to do good for somebody else? He makes a Shavua that he'll give a present to somebody else. So this is what we talked about before. The Gemara earlier had talked about on Daf Kafei that it would have to mean that we're giving a present to somebody who is rich, because otherwise if it's poor, it's tzedakah. And again, we talked before about some of an idea that the Rosh says that in that Gemara it was talking about a mitzvah to not give, and the question was that that's nishba levatzal as a mitzvah, and therefore our mission is telling us, our braisa is telling us for the first time the concept where he wants to do good to somebody else. So, Talmud Lema, Oy Lahetiv. Well, therefore, the Pasuk says, Oy Lahetiv. Now, the word Oy is extra. The Pasuk could have said, Lahora Ulahetiv. So, therefore, so the word Oy comes to teach us that, yes, such a Shavua is effective. So now, if he makes a Shavua to give a present to somebody else, for example, and he doesn't do that, he will be Chayav a Korban for his Shavua's victory. The Ezuhi Aras Achelim, so what do we mean by doing bad to somebody else? We don't mean, let's say, for example, it wouldn't mean, for example, to fail to give him something. Rather, because, for example, let's say you make a shvur that I won't give a present to this rich person, there's no problem with that. That is a Dvar HaRashus. And here the Braisa was saying before that a shvur like that is not effective because it's not a Dvar HaRashus. That would be, for example, he makes a shvur, Akes Pliny, for Efsetz Mocha, I'm going to hit Pliny and break open his skull. So then the Shavua is not Chal because he has no right to do that, and that's a Shavua that he does not have the right to do. Okay, so we've gone through the Braisa, and we've shown so far that a Shavua can be Chal only on a Dvar HaRashus. So for himself, it can be Lahora Elahetiv, it can be to do good or to do bad, so he's able to make a Shavua, for example, to injure himself, and the Braisa is saying that's valid because the Tana of this Braisa holds that a person is in fact allowed to do that, and again, the Rambam and others are showing in Paskin that in fact he's going to be Chayiv a Shavua, he's going to be Chayiv a Korban for the Shavua, even though in fact the person is not allowed to injure himself because, as the Radvaz explains on the Rambam, because the fact is, it doesn't say it explicitly in the pasuk, and therefore it works. So therefore, the shvur is chal on it. But now, when it comes to injuring somebody else, such a shvur is ineffective. So the Gemara says that umimai dekroy b'dvar harashus k'sivi diomer b'dvar mitzvah k'sivi. All this time we've been assuming that everything in the pasuk is talking about dvar harashus. Maybe in fact the pasuk lahoray lahetiv is referring to dvar mitzvah as well. Maybe it is talking about a shavua to do a mitzvah or to violate him or to not do a mitzvah or to do something bad to somebody else. Where are we saying all this time? We're saying that we're making a hekesh between lahoray and lahetiv to say, just like one is a Rashus, so is the other. But how do we know, to begin with, that maybe it's also talking about a Dvar Rashus? Okay, Tosfos says it can't be talking only about a Dvar Mitzvah, but maybe it's talking about both Dvar Mitzvah and Dvar Rashus. So the answer is Lo Sapadai. You can't think that way. Because since the Pasuk puts together Lahora Elahetiv, we have to have that the Hatova and the Hara are as similar as possible. That means, in other words, we have the Hekesh works both ways. So the Hekesh works both ways. The Akesh Hara L'Atova. So by making a Hekesh between Hara and Atova, we can learn Ma Hatova Einim B'Vitul Mitzvah. Just like the word Hatova, just like the word Lahetiv, does not refer where he's violating a mitzvah. Because if he makes a Shavua that he won't, that if he makes a Shavua, for example, that he will do it. Let's say he were to make a shvua that he will eat chametz on Pesach, or he will eat on Yom Kippur, or whatever. So then, on the one hand, it's lahetiv because he wants to do good for himself. He's saying for himself that he wants to make it possible for him to eat something. But the fact is, it's not really lahetiv. It's really lahara because he's doing bad to his neshama. So clearly the lahetiv has to be where there's no violation of a mitzvah involved. So af harah edim a vital mitzvah, the same way a shavua for harah has to be where there's no vital mitzvah involved. So you can say, for example, that I won't eat this bread, but he can't say that I won't eat matzah. So now he could make a shavua. So far then you would say that he could make a shavua to fulfill a mitzvah, to not do a mitzvah sloisa. For example, he can make a shavua to not eat chametz. However, but you have the other way around. So far what we're saying is as follows. The harah and the hatava, so it can't be where there's a bittul mitzvah, because then we can't call it, even though on the face of it it's hatava, I will eat chometz on Pesach. That's not really a hatava, because really he's doing bad for himself. Gurim ro l'nafshi, he's causing something bad for his neshama. So therefore, by the same token, the harah cannot involve a bittul mitzvah. It can't involve, for example, to say that So it would be, for example, hara would be a shvur that I won't eat bread. But what about maybe would that mean that a shvur to not eat chometz would be effective? The problem is hara gufa hatovah. The problem is that's not a real hara. That's really a hatovah, because again, he's on the face of it, he's afflicting himself and saying I won't eat chometz. But on the other hand, that's doing good for himself, because chometz is also chayim on Pesach, and he's being mekayim a mitzvah with that. So obviously, the Pasuk already mentioned Hatovah. So you have to have, in other words, the Hatovah is purely a Hatovah. The Harah is purely a Harah. So it can't be where there's mitzvahs involved, because then a Harah is really a Hatovah, and vice versa. So that shows that both the Hatovah and the Harah have to involve a Dvar Mitzvah, cannot involve a Dvar Mitzvah, can involve doing a Mitzvah, can involve being Mevatel a Mitzvah, and therefore the result is what we said, that if a person makes a Shavua to do a Mitzvah or not to do a Mitzvah, as the case may be, or to do a Mitzvah or not to do it, or to violate a Loisah, or to not violate it, then such Shavuas cannot be effective. So that's the hekish in one direction by saying hatovah dumya dahara. So we're saying the hara has to be defined as something which is exclusively hara, and it's just like the hatovah cannot involve vital mitzvah, neither can the hara. And then we go the other way around. The akish hatovah lahara. The hekish also goes the opposite way. Mahara ain't a matiyah mitzvah. The hara, the do bad, cannot be involving doing a mitzvah. Because again, a shvur, let's say not to eat chometz on Pesach, we're saying that's not purely a hara, even though it is depriving himself of something. But in reality, it's a hatovah, because he's doing good for himself by being careful not to do the mitzvah. So he says there, and therefore, that's not really harah, and therefore the pasuk is excluding it. At hatovah, any makia mitzvah, the same way the hatovah cannot involve doing a mitzvah, such as a shvur not to eat matzah on Pesach. But what about a shvur, let's say, that he will eat chametz on Pesach? Can't. That's the opposite problem. Hatovah go for harah. Then the harah would be a hatovah. Then the hatovah, on the face of it, he's doing good for himself, because now he's giving himself a certain kind of food that he's available to eat. It's really a harah, because he's doing bad for himself and making himself chayiv koris. So in short, by taking the hekesh in both directions, what we're saying is that a divine mitzvah is completely excluded, because one way or the other, a shvua and a certain shvuas involving mitzvahs are necessarily going to be. It's not real harah, but rather hatovah, or it's not real hatovah, but rather harah. And the pasuk, by mentioning lahara or lahetiv, is saying that the harah has to be a complete harah, the hatovah has to be a complete hatovah. And therefore, shavuos to do mitzvahs or to not do mitzvahs or to violate or not violate mitzvahs are not going to be effective. So that's how we exclude divine mitzvah. Well, but you want to ask the Hachi, by that logic then, Bidvar HaRishus Nami LaMashkachas La, then in that case, how are you going to make it work with a Dvar HaRishus either? If you're going to say a Hekesh between Lahora and Lahetiv, then you can find when it comes to a Dvar HaRishus as well. It's not always going to, it's not going to work out. What are you going to do like this? You're going to do like this. You're going to have the same kind of hektish. You're going to have the same kind of hektish. Atova would be, for example, that he makes a shavua that he will eat something which is good for him, and we're saying that. But on the other hand, you could have a shavua, let's say, where he says that'll eat something bad for him. So therefore, also the atova is really going to be a hara because he's going to be indulging himself in something, but it's going to turn out to be bad for him, and therefore it's hara, and vice versa. So once you do that, so by the same token, as we're saying, for example, that a shavua to eat chometz on Pesach, on the face of it, is hatova, because he's indulging himself in chometz, but it's really hara, because he's damaging his neshama, well, you could say the same thing with divrei harishus. You could say he makes a shavua to eat something which is no good for him, begashmius, then also it would be, it sounds like a hatova, but it's really a hara, and vice versa. So that being the case, so the same logic that we would use to exclude a Dvar Mitzvah, the same logic we could use on a Dvar HaRishus, and say that in that case it would it wouldn't work, and by a Dvar HaRishus also you can't have a Shavua Lahora Elahetiv. Now, Tosfos points out, Tosfos wonders though that sure you could still have, for example, so you could say, so let's say, for example, we could say that you could say you have a hatova which is really a hara, and so forth. For example, you can have a hatova when it comes to not involving the mevatel mitzvah. You are allowed to do it. So the same way, hara is something that you're allowed to do. Who says? Why does the Gemara have to say that we're talking about davka? Why does the Gemara have to davka assume that we're talking about a case where the hara is a hatova or vice versa? Why not say you can find a case of pure something of a hatova, which is purely hatova, and hara, which is purely hatova, and which is purely hara, and therefore shvur would be able to be chal on that? What forces the Gemara to say that we have to find a case with divrei harishus also, where what's bad is really good and vice versa? Anyway, but the Gemara does do that, and therefore that's on the face of it. Therefore, we can't use that hekish. So the Gemara says you're right. We can't learn. So we can't learn the pasuk is talking about divrei harishus strictly from that kind of logic, because the same logic that we would use to exclude divrei mitzvah, we could also use it to exclude divrei harishus. Rather, ella midi itzrich oi l'rabas hatovas acherim. Since the pasuk has to add the word oi to include the case where the person is making a shavua to do good for somebody else. And such a shavua is effective. He makes a shavua, for example, to give something good to somebody else. We said in the Braisa before, such a shavua is chal. That's what we said in the Braisa, Tamad Lema, Oy Lahetiv. So a shavua to harm somebody else, like to break his head open, wouldn't work. But a shavua to do good to him, for example, to give him a present, would work. And vice versa, you can also formulate that shavua in the negative, I won't give him a present. And as long as he's not a poor person, then there's no problem with that. So because we need the word Oy, Shmamina B'dvar HaRishus Ksivi, that itself tells us that we're talking about Dvar HaRishus, the Isach Dadach B'dvar Mitzvah Ksivi. Otherwise, if you were going to say that we're talking even with a Dvar Mitzvah, then that a person would be able to make a shavua, a valid shavua, to be mevatel a mitzvah, then what do you mean? Why would that work? Hashta tovas acherim israbi. If already hashta haros acherim israbi. If you're going to tell me that there can even be a shavua to do bad to somebody else, because if we're going to say the pasuk is talking about divrei mitzvah, then a shavua lahora would include also lahora la'achirim, to injure them, even though he's not allowed to do that. Hatovas acherim ibolya. Would you need to say that he could make a shavua to do good to somebody else? You wouldn't need that chiddush. You wouldn't need the word oy for that. The very fact that the Torah has to write the word oy implies a shavua lahora la'achirim is not going to be effective. But a shavua lahetiv la'achirim is going to be effective from that word oy. So the Ran explains basically at this point the Gemara is saying you don't the Gemara is saying because of the word oi that forces us to darshan the hekesh in the appropriate way and to say that it's not that it means that we're talking about dvar mitzvah and that we're talking about dvar harishus. And therefore that shavuos can apply only to dvar harishus. So that's how we learn then. So when the Brai said before, we have a hekish that tells us to compare hara ta tova and atova ta ra, and with both of them we're talking about dvar harishus. So ultimately we learn that from the very fact that the Torah had to say the word oi in order to include lahetiv. Well, the Gemara asks, "V'hai oi meboi levechalit." What do you mean, though? The oi we need for a different purpose, to distinguish when it says lahora oi lahetiv, that should specifically mean to do one or to do the other. Otherwise, if it said lahora ulahetiv, then maybe he'd be chai of a korban only if he swears both to do bad and to do good, to do negative and to do positive. So why don't we say the word oi is needed for that? So the Gemara says lachalak like tzorich kara. You don't need a pasuk for that. You don't need a pasuk for that. The pasuk otherwise would have said lahora ulahetiv yachdav. It would have said something like that. Tosfos, by the way, points out, you know, in the Mishnah we had Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseiras Kavachomer that said that we should be able to include a shvu on a mitzvah now based on what we said, that it's all dvar harishus. So we would have said the posik doesn't say anything about dvar mitzvah, but maybe we could learn it from a Kavachomer. But the Chum say to Rabbi Yehuda, it does to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseiras, the Kavachomer doesn't work out. But anyway, so now we're saying that the word oi is not needed l'chalik. We would know even without the word oi that it means that a person is making a shavur either to do bad or to do good, and not that he has to do both kinds of shavurs in order to be chayv a korban. Well, the Gemara says, Hanichol Rabbi Yonasan. Well, that works out according to the opinion of Rabbi Yonasan, who says that you don't need the word oi for that purpose. But what about according to Rabbi Yoshi's opinion, who says that in such cases you need the word oi, otherwise it's going to mean together. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, we have this in Sanhedrin, it comes up in a number of places in Shas. The Pasuk is a person who curses his father, v'es his mother. So then he's chayav misa. Now, only ella over v'imoy. Now, based on that pasuk, you would know only on the face of it. You would say only if he's chayiv misa, only if he cursed both his father and his mother. Over v'loy imoy, imoy v'loy over minayin. How do we know also if he cursed one and not the other that he's chayiv misa? Tamad lema over v'imoy kilo. Over v'imoy kilo. Therefore, the pasuk says his father and his mother he cursed. So therefore, if we look at the whole pasuk, you have Ishasha Yutalal es Aviv. So it puts the word Yutalal next to the word Aviv to show that it's talking about cursing his father. And then at the end of the pasuk, you have Imoi, the Imoi Kilo, and it puts the word Imoi next to Kilo. So therefore, we can darshan that it means Aviv Kimo, Ilo Imoi Kilo. So it means that he cursed either his father or his mother, and for either one alone, he's Chayiv Misa. Give it Rabbi Yoshia, that's what Rabbi Yoshia says. Is how we can learn that. Rabbi Yonasan says that you don't need that. Mashmashneim ke'echod. The words oviv v'imoy could conceivably mean both together. Or mashma echad b'fnei atzmoy. But it could equally well mean each individual one. Which then Rashi explains, according to Rabbi Yonasan, you would say, why does it say at the end of the pasuk oviv v'imoy kilo? So Rashi refers to the Gemara in Sanhedrin that says, according to him, you're using that to learn that if he cursed them after they died, that he's potter. Or no, the other way around, l'rabas v'kalalach hamisa, to include where he is actually chayav for cursing them even after they died, whereas Rabbi Yoshia holds that he's not. Anyway, Rabbi Yonasan says the words oviv v'imoy could mean them both together, or it could mean disjoint, one or the other. Ad sheyifrit l'chakos of yachtov, unless the pasuk specifies the word yachtov. For example, by kilay behemah, the pasuk says the sacharish b'shorav v'chamer yachtov, and therefore there it means that a person is chayav only for plowing with two types of animals, an ox and a donkey together, but not one or the other. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yonasan, you don't need the word oi to tell us that it's one or the other. According to him, unless it says yachdav, then it means or. So now, according to him, then, so now, according to Rabbi Yonason, fine, you don't need the word oy in the pasuk, but, and therefore we can use it for the drasha that we said that the lahetiv is strictly in Dvar HaRashus, and therefore use that as a basis for learning everything else that we said before, that all the shavuos, lahara, lahetiv, have to be in Dvar HaRashus. But according to Rabbi Yoshia, who says that you need the word oy, because otherwise you would say he's chayev only if he, only if he makes a shavuos, lahara, and lahetiv, so according to him, how are we using the word oy to learn the scope of the word lahetiv, that it means only a that it means only a dvar harashos. So the answer is afilu teimer Rabbi Yoshia, that drasha using the word oy can even be like Rabbi Yoshia. The sava like Rabbi Akiva, the darush ribuyu miyoti. As we learned yesterday, Rabbi Akiva learns the details of lahara lahetiv and what kinds of shavuos are and aren't included in the chiyuv of a korban. He learns it from the ribuyu miyot, where we said that it said where the pasuk says oy nefesh kisi shava lavato v'sfasayim lahara lahetiv l'cholashi vate adam, and therefore according to Rabbi Akiva, we have a ribuyu miyot ribuyu, and therefore we include everything except for Dvar Mitzvah. So according to him, we know that a Shavua on a Dvar Mitzvah is not a Shavua that would be Mechayiv him in a Korban. We know that from the Ribui Miyot Ribui V'Yatu like Oy L'Chalik. Therefore, he has the word Oy available to. Therefore, he has the word Oy available to be Mechalik and to say that it means one or the other. So even according to him, the word oy is unnecessary in the pasuk, and therefore you can use the word oy to say that we're talking strictly about a dvar mitzvah. Okay. So now, in other words, so the logic goes like this. If you're going to tell me that it's talking only about a dvar harashus, then fine, the ma'at dvar mitzvah. Then with the ribu yamirt, we're saying that we're ma'at the case of a mitzvah. Because again, according to Rabbi Akiva, where we're doing a ribu yamirt ribu, we have to exclude one thing, and therefore the one thing we're going to exclude is a dvar mitzvah. Eli amit dvar mitzvah k'si, but if you're going to tell me that the pasuk is even including a dvar mitzvah, mimai kum mimayit, then what is the pasuk coming to be mimayit? Then there's nothing for it to be mimayit from the ribui miyut ribui, so therefore necessarily it has to be that the oy is coming to, therefore it has to be that therefore, according to him then, therefore, the pasuk must be talking strictly at Dvar HaRashus, and the word Ori teaches us that point. So now the Marshal, now the words over here in the Gemara, the Yatu like Ori L'Chalik, are in parenthesis. Marshal takes them out, and Marshal takes them out and brings from the Ran that the fact is the Braisa had said before that we're learning this concept that it's all Rashus from a Hekesh. But rather, like we said before, the point is, because it says oy, then therefore that forces us to learn the Hekesh that way. But now we're saying that we don't necessarily, according to Rabbi Akiva, we don't necessarily need that. Just the fact that he's darshaning with a ribuy miyot, and we have to be excluding one thing, requires us to say that a dvar mitzvah is excluded. So we can take out the words and we can understand in two different ways. We can say because of the oy, or we can say just because otherwise there's nothing else to exclude from the ribui miyot ribui. Okay. So that takes care of the opinion of the Chachamim. Now Tosfos does point out, wait a minute, even without that, you would have other things. You could be Mamayat. You could say, for example, maybe we're Mamayat, a Shavua where a person swears on a stone pillar that's gold or according to Shmuel, things that are not Lahaba, things where you can't swear about in the future and other things like that. So Tosfos says because they all kind of go together. If you're going to be able to be Marba one, then you can be Marba another. And then, otherwise, also Tosfos says, if it meant to exclude such things, then it would say lasis v'loshalo lasis. It wouldn't have to use the words lahora o lahetiv, which implies negatives and positives. And therefore, once it says that, then therefore we can understand based on the logic that we said so far that it's all talking about dvar harashus. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah that Amar Rabbi Yehuda Maseira, Ma'amar Rishus, called Rabbi Yehuda Maseira, had argued that we should make a Kavah Chomer to say that a person is chayev for a chayev a korban for Shavua to do a mitzvah, to sit in the sukkah, for example, and he fails to sit in the sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda Maseira had argued that a Kavah Chomer should tell us that he's chayev in a korban, and the Chacham said that no, the Kavah Chomer doesn't work because the Kavah Chomer doesn't work because you can't make a shavua to not sit in a sukkah, and therefore a shavua to sit in a sukkah wouldn't be effective either. Again, according to Rashi's girsa, which is the girsa that we have in front of us in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira is not actually saying that he should be chayev; he's just arguing that he should be. And according to Tosfos and many other Rishonim, the girsa is divrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira actually holds that he would be chayev in that case. Well, the Gemara says, "Rabbanan shapur kamila the Rabbi Yehuda Maseira." Well, the Chacham have a very good argument to Rabbi Yehuda Maseira that you don't have lav and hain when it comes to a dvar mitzvah. So for Rabbi Yehuda Maseira, what is omalach? So Rabbi Yehuda Maseira will answer back to you. Also, atovas achirim lav afagab the less of a chal aros achirim. He says, think about it. In the whole drasha that we said before, when you have when it comes to achirim, we're saying you can make a shavua lahetiv to do good to other people, for example, to give them a present, but you can't make a shavua lahora to injure them, like we said before. So you see already that you don't need lav and hain. The Rabbi Rachmana, and yet the Torah is marbe from the word oi, so therefore shavua, I will give plenty of presents, and he doesn't end up giving the present, he's going to be chayv in a korban, even though a shavua to do bad to him, a shavua that I will break open his head, and he doesn't end up breaking open his head, is not chal. So therefore you see that you don't need lav and hain together. The Rabbi Rachmana, and yet the pasuk is including it. Hochanami, the kiyum mitzvah, afgav the lasi, the vitul mitzvah, Rabbi Rachmana. The same way, you can make the same argument when it comes to being the kiyum mitzvah, even though it's not possible. Fine, I agree, you can't make a shvur to break a mitzvah, to fail to do a mitzvah, but that doesn't prevent the shvur to do the mitzvah from being chal. Marsha explains, in other words, the fact is that Hatovah Sacherim is still a Dvar Rishus to give the person a present or whatever. I mean, it is. He explains it's not a mitzvah gemura, but it's not a total Rishus, but it is it can be considered, because after all, you are fulfilling a certain mitzvah with that. You are doing Avas Yisrael, but so we can't consider it a total, we can't consider it a total Dvar Rishus, but on the other hand, it's not really a full-fledged mitzvah either. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira says, if you can include that, then you can include even a full-fledged mitzvah, such as sitting in the sukkah. V'rabbanan, and the Chacham answer back. The difference is, hosem isei b'loy etiv. Fine, over there, it's true, you can't make a shvur to actually do bad to somebody, as in, I will hit him and injure him. But you could at least do a shvur not to give him a present. And that would work, as long as he's not a poor person, and you have to give him tzedakah. Hocham mi isei b'loy akayim, but here when it comes to sukkah, is a person able to make a shavua that I won't fulfill it? No, such a shavua will not be effective. So therefore, a shavua that I will sit in a sukkah can't be effective either. So in other words, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira wants to draw a comparison between a shavua to do good to somebody, for example, to give him a present, versus to do bad to him, namely an active kind of bad thing, like hitting him, and then say, since one is chal without the other, therefore it works, and the chum say, no, the valid comparison would be, I will give him a present versus I won't give him a present. Okay. Mishnah says, Shavua shlo echo kikerzu. A person makes a shavua that I won't eat this loaf of bread. Then he says again, Shavua shlo echlana. He says again, a shavua that I won't eat it. And again, Shavua shlo echlana, a shavua that I won't eat it. Why saying three times? We'll see in the Gemara. V'ochla, now if he eats that loaf of bread, and chayv ala achas, and he's chayv only one time, and then he's chayv only one korban, because one shavua cannot be chal on another shavua. Shavua is not chal on another shavua, and Rashi earlier in the parak had pointed out, because once he already makes the first shavua, then already he's mushva ba'omen, mehaus dinah, he's already besworn that he's not allowed to eat it, because it's already also to him at that point. So now when he makes a second shavua, then in effect it's a shavua l'kayim es ha-mitzvah. Now the Rimi Gash also adds a point. You can't say that the second shvur should be considered a shvur shav, and therefore that it should be also, because again this would be a shvur the l'kayim as a mitzvah which a person is entitled to do. So now when he makes the second shvur, though, it doesn't make the bread any more also, and because it's already also to him, and therefore if he does break the shvur, then he's chayv only one carbon. So the Mishnah continues, this is the kind of shvus vitri up until now, meaning we don't just mean this particular din, we mean up until this point, is all the cases of shvus vitri, shechayovin al zayna makas, where if a person is over on it, the mazin, then he's chayiv malkas, while shechayovin al zayna makas, and if he does it, the shogis, then he's chayiv a korban al zayna. So all of these are examples of such a shvur so far, where you have those kinds of things, where you have that din of where there's a korban mashreking. On the other hand, continues the Mishnah, shvur shav, on the other hand, a useless shvur, which we're going to learn the details of in the next Mishnah, that's different. Chayovin al zdoina makas, vashur gosapater, there a person makes such a shvur b'mezid. For example, a shvur like we learned previously, that this stone pillar is gold or whatever, that would be a shvur shav, so he's chayiv malchus for that. But if he does it b'shogeg, then he's potter, because the Torah's description of a korban is talking strictly about a shvur vitri and not a shvur shav. So shvur shav is a different issur in the Torah. But there's no korban mentioned in connection with it. Okay. So the Gemara says, why does the Mishnah, not only is the Mishnah repeating itself a lot, but first it says, that I won't eat, and then, that I won't eat it. So first we're going to deal with why the variation between Oichal and Echlena. Then further on, the Gemara is going to deal with why it is that it repeats the Shavur three times. So why does it say first Oichal and Echlena? And the answer is Hokamashvalon. The Mishnah wants to tell us as follows. You know why the Mishnah is saying he's chayv only one korban is because first he had said shalai oichal, that I won't eat, which implies that I won't eat even part of it, and then he said shalai echlana, which means that I won't eat all of it. So now the second shvur is not able to be chal because the first one, loy oichal, means that he's also even to eat a kazayas of it. So now when he says loy echlen, no, when I won't eat all of it, so a kazayas is included in all of it. So already his shvur is, included every kazayas of the bread. As we learned earlier in the Perek, you could also have mefarish where he says explicitly, I won't eat even less than a kazayas, and then that's chal, but ordinarily if he says shloy oichal, means a kazayas. So it's shvur that I won't eat includes a kazayis of it, and therefore shalai echlana has no room to be chal because now it's going to mean the whole loaf, and everybody eats kazayis of the loaf is also. So that's why delay mechayiv alachlada in that case is going to be chayiv only one korban. Aval omer shalai echlana, but if it was the other way around, if he had said a shvur that I won't eat it, which implies the entire loaf of bread, v'hodr omer shalai oichal, and then he said I won't eat, which implies even a kazayis, machayev tauti, now if he eats the whole thing, he will in fact be chayev for two shvurs, because the second shvur, there was still room for it to be chal, the first shvur only included the entire loaf of bread. V'chinder rava, Kidurava, namely, this is like what Rava says. Rava says that when a person makes a shvur not to eat this loaf of bread, kibin sha'ochol men a kazayas chayev. So if he eats even only a kazayas from it, then he's chayev because eating in halacha is defined as a kazayas. On the other hand, shaloy echlan na, but if he says a shvur that I won't eat it, ain't a chayiv, actually yechlas kula, then he's chayiv only if he eats the whole thing, because echlan na implies to eat the whole thing. So therefore, that's why the Mishnah, now the Rimi Gash points out the Mishnah could have also said, shvur shaloy echlan na, and we would learn the same concept. But the Mishnah wants us to know that oichal means only a kazayas, and echlan na means to eat the whole thing. So that's what it means. that I'm buying. But Rishonim bring up a point. What about, for example, Shavua, that he will eat it? So further on, at near the end of the parak, Tosfos says that if he says, I will eat it, then also it also means a kezias, and therefore he's therefore, in order to be Mekayim as Shavua, he has to eat at least a kezias of it. On the other hand, the Ritva brings from the Ra'ah, who says that no, if he says, Sha'ichlana, that I will eat it, then he would actually have to eat the whole thing. Shaloi oichal means, in other words, that he wants to say, so he's making a shvur even on a small amount of pizayas. But when he says shaloichal, that I will eat, it means, in other words, that he's being mechayiv himself to eat the whole thing. So according to the Ra'ah, it would come out that if he says a shvur to eat it, then he would in fact be chayiv to eat the whole thing. And he goes on to compare that there were other similar cases like that. The Ra'ah brings up a point. Let's say, for example, a person had previously borrowed money. Now he needs to pay it back, and he makes a shavua that he will return the money. So now he can't afford right now to return all of it, only some of it. And the Ra'ah says the shavua is going to obligate him to repay whatever he could. So, because the shvur included to either do the full amount or whatever, so now, the same way, in other words, he says, I will eat this loaf, he has to eat every kezias of it. So then there are all learns that in that case, he would have to eat the entire loaf. But every time he eats a kezias of it, he's getting closer and closer to that, and therefore he has to do that. So it would be the same thing with the loin, for example. Then you have also, for example, that Ramban brings up a case. What if you have a whole bunch of loaves of bread over there? So he has 10 loaves of bread and says a shvur that I won't eat them. Then that would mean that he'd be allowed to eat 9 of them, but because only he made a shvur that he won't eat all 10 of them. But if he said shvur shlo ochel eser kikris elu, if he said a shvur that I won't eat these 10 loaves of bread. So then he would be also in every kezias of them, and now if he says that I won't eat these 9 or whatever, then that second shvur won't be able to be chal. So that's what we learn from. The oichal versus oichlena of our Mishnah, that oichal means a kezias and oichlena means the whole thing. Then the Mishnah continued, Shvur Shalei Chlana, V'Ochla. Now we said if he continues and says again and again, Shvur Shalei Chlana, Shvur Shalei Chlana, Ein Chayv Al Achas, and he's Chayv only one permon. So the Gemara says, Ha Tu Lomali. Well, why do we need this part of the, Mishnah? Why do we need to mention the third shvur? Once you have the second shvur already, we know that shvur is not Chal on another one. And the answer is, Ha Kamash Malon, Chiyuvahu Deleka, because the Mishnah wants us to know there's no chiyuv for the second and third shvuas. Ha-shvua ikka, but there is the shvua itself. The shvua itself does exist. And the point of that is, dimashkachas ravcha, if there ends up being room for that shvua to be chal, then chayla, then it will in fact be chal. So in other words, it's not like the second shvua never has any effect at all. It has an effect in the sense that if it was dimatu neder on the first shvua, then the second shvua would be able to be chal. Now Rashi has the Gilsa like we have in the Gemara over here, or Tu Lama Li, and it's telling us there's no Chiyuv, but there is room for it to be Chal. Tosfos instead brings a different Gilsa, that the Mishnah in fact had not mentioned 3 times. The Mishnah had only said Shvur Shalayach Kazu, Shvur Shalayach Lana. And the question was that since the Mishnah had said Ein Chayv Al Achas, so that implies that there's no chiyuv for only one, but nevertheless there do in fact exist here 2 shavuos. So we're not learning from the fact that it says 3 times, because in Tosfos's Gilsa it does not in fact say 3 times. The question is just why does it say Chayv Achas, and then the Mishnah didn't say Chayv Achas, but Ein Chayv El Achas, meaning that he's Chayv only one, but in other words the Shavur itself is waiting to be able to take effect. So what does that mean? So as most of the Ma'ayhuchsa, what's the relevance of that Lahalacha? And the answer is Lachid Rava. Again, it tells us something that Rava teaches out to Amar Rava. You have a case, for example, involving to Amar Rava, she nisha al rishona. If he ended up being matu neder for the first shvur, Also, a shnir tachter, then the second one takes effect instead of it. He would now need to be matur neder again on the second shavua in order for the second shavua to be revoked as well. Otherwise, we say the first shavua already made this loaf of bread also to him. Now the next shavua is not adding anything to that. However, if he's matur neder, then the second shavua comes in his chal, and now if he eats that bread, he's again going to be chayev. So the Gemara says, Lema Messiah, can we say that we can support Rava's din from the following case? Okay, a case in Masechta Nazir. Misha Nader Shtei Nazirus. A person made a neder of two terms of Nazirus. Umona Rishona, he counted the first one. He went through the entire 30 days, or however many days the Nazirus is for, minimum of 30 days. Umona Rishona, the Hifra Shalar Karban, he even designated the Kurbanus at the end of it that he's going to he's going to finish his Nazirus and bring his Korbanus. And then he goes to be Matu Neder about the first Nazirus. So then also, the second Nazirus counts instead of it. So now, in other words, the Korbanus that he brought will count. So now, in other words, the second Nazirus will have been in effect all this time, retroactively. The Chacham is Oikra Neder Meikroi. So therefore, it makes it as though there was never a Neder. So therefore, the result is the first Nazirus is wiped out. But nevertheless, 30 days that he kept for Nazirus will count for the second Nazirus, for the second Neder of Nazirus that he made. And therefore, the Korbanus that he designated will work for that Nazirus as well. And the reason for it is, Rashi explains, because that's exactly it. There was something preventing the second one couldn't take effect until the first one was finished. But now that the first one is gone, then it turns out retroactively that this worked for the second one. So therefore, on the face of it, that's the same kind of thing as Rava's case over here, where he had two shavuos on the same loaf of bread, and then he was matur neder on the one, and now there's room for the second one to take effect. So should we say that braisa supports what Rava says? But the Gemara says, Hochi Hashta, no, how are you comparing the two cases? Hosam Nazirus Mia Ika, the fact is, there was Nazirus all this time. Because not only was the fact that he kept Nazirus for 30 days, the fact is there is going to be a second Nazirus as well. When he finishes counting the first one, even if he wasn't Matu Neder, he's going to have to also count the second one below Sheilan. It doesn't matter whether he's Matu Neder on the first one or not. He kept Nazirus during the entire month of Tishrei, let's say. So now, when he finishes that Nazirus and brings his Korbanus, at that point the second Nazirus is going to start. The validity of that second Nazirus does not depend on removing the first one. It just means that it would have to be after that. It just means that it would have to be after it instead of concurrently. So now when he's matur the first neder, then therefore the second one has room to take effect. But over here you could argue, is the second shavuah even effective at all? If he's not matur neder on the first one, the second one has no room to be chal, because he already asked himself to eat even a kazayis of this bread. So therefore we have more reason to say, when it comes to Nazirus, we can say, Rashi explains, we're not going to say that either Nazirus was meant labatola. It meant that he's going to be a Nazir during the month of Tishrei and also during the month of Cheshvan. And now, when he was Matur Neder for Tishrei, before he brought his Korbanos, then fine, we're saying the 30 days Nazirus that he kept during Tishrei end up counting for the one that would have been in Cheshvan instead. Obviously, we're not talking about what he said, literally Tishrei and Cheshvan, and then we're talking about what he said, Nazirus of 30 days. But over here, there's no room for the second Shavua at all. Therefore, we really have no choice to say that the second Shavua was completely levatola, and it should never be able to take effect, even if there ends up being room for it, because at the time that it was said, there was no room for it to ever be chal. There was no future time for it to be chal. There's no future time. The bread is already also to him, and therefore we can't say that braisa supports Rava's din. Fine. I mean, it doesn't support it, but it doesn't slog it up either. And therefore we do accept what Rava says, and therefore, yes, if he is Matu Neder on the first Shavuah, then the second one is Chal. Tosfos mentions over here that the parallel Gemara in Nedarim deals with this question also, and explains that no, we're talking about that he said two Nazirus bevas achas. In other words, he had said to begin with, I am going to be chayev. He says bevas achas. I'm going to be a Nazir
I'm going to be a nazir two times. Versus over here, we're talking about we said a shvur, and then later on he said a shvur. And Tosfos discusses about the contrast between these two gemaras. Why over here? So there he said, I'm a nazir. So therefore it's b'vasachas. Whereas over here we're talking about where he said a shvur, and then later on another shvur. So Tosfos discusses just the difference between the two Gemaras and with other relevant Gemaras about over here that when he's nishal on one of them, one point, Tosfos points out, if he's matur neder on one, why isn't he automatically matur on the second one as well? And the difference is because here each one is independent. If he were to say, for example, a neder of nazirus, which would include many different things, and then it would include many different terms, let's say, and then he's matur part of it, then fine, you can't be matur only part of a neder, then the whole thing would be mutter. But here it was independent nedarim, and therefore just being matur, one doesn't cause the other one to be mutter as well.
Okay.